Hello everyone. 안녕하세요. Welcome to the country reports of the Korea Conference of Religious Women in Korea. Reflecting on the theme of Amor 15, Call to Move Beyond, we came up with some questions. Where are we called to move beyond? What are the obstacles in our moving beyond? The following are the areas where we have been called to move beyond, where women religious are making effort to move beyond culture, social barriers, beyond practices and prejudice against women in the church, beyond stereotype, passive roles as women religious, and beyond comfortable, secure life as religious, etc. But we admit that these are also the area where we are called to continue our efforts. The areas are environment issues, multicultural families and migrant women, women's leadership in the church, solidarity with the grassroots movement to democracy, responses to most wounded in the society now, other issues.
First, environment issues. Development of the Korean Grand Waterway. 용산 development of urban areas. Trappist nuns protest against the erection of a shipbuilding plant. Protest against the erection of new town golf course. Oil leakage and human effort. Our president, Mr. Lee Myung-bak, was elected president because people believed that he would boost the economy of Korea. He launched many projects in the name of so-called development, which often threaten the ecology. Some of his projects are development of the Korean Grand Waterway, development of the new town in the northern part of Seoul, etc. To protest this fierce development of the four grand rivers, Catholic women religious joined other religious in the protest against many government-driven development projects which violate the balance between human and nature. And religious women are also very much aware of the direction of the government, which promotes development, consumerism, competition, efficiency, etc. These are some of the photos of protest pilgrimage against the Four River Grand Waterway Development Plan. And in December, maybe this is Mr. Jones. Mm-hmm.
2007, 11 tons of oil was spilled in the Sea of Taeyang in Korea. Taeyang County turned into oil because of the greatest leakage. Thousands of volunteers went to the place to wipe out the oil from the seashore. The Association of Major Superiors organized the volunteers and many religious orders joined the volunteer work. One of the sisters stated that it was like touching the wounds of the Mother Earth. On January 12, 2009, a group of people who ran a small-scale shop was leaning on the top of a five-story building in Yongsan, protesting against the strong government development policies and asking for their right to leave because their shops have been demolished by these policies. The government sent police first to settle the matter quickly, and in the process of suppressing the right, 5 people were killed by the fire and violence. It has already been 9 months, and the government has not said a word of apology. For some, it, the government blamed them for being terrorists. Their families still cannot have a funeral. These are some photos of a mass with the family of the victims.
Next, multicultural families and migrant women. As many workers come from Asian countries to find jobs in Korea since the 1990s, the number of women workers is increasing. Migrant women workers have suffered from both sexism and racism. International marriages between Korean men and Asian women is increasing rapidly as a new social issue, because Korean women, over 20,000 Asian women have come to Korea for international marriages every year since 2003. Migrant women often suffer from cultural shock, lack of communication, the inability to adapt to a very patriarchal family structure, and domestic violence. Many religious orders moved from their traditional parish work into the ministry to respond to the needs of the multicultural families and migrant women. These are some of the photos of counseling and mentoring for these women, and family program, Korean language class, and Korean culture class, and medical care.
Solidarity with grassroots movement to democracy. Since the launch of the new president and his government, there have been massive expression of protest against the dictatorial government's policies. At the time when the government decided to import U.S. beef, which caused a mad cow disease issue. At this same time, when the former presidents, Mr. Roh Moo-hyun and Mr. Kim Dae-jung, died in May. And in August, Catholic religious women joined the grassroots movement toward democracy, participating in the candlelight vigils and joining the mourning and reflecting on the meaning of these their lives for us.
Now, Catholic women's leadership in the church. The Korean Catholic Church was established on the basis of the commitment of women leaders such as Kang Won-soon, Golomba, and women martyrs and women in the Christian villages during the period of persecution in the early church. However, the Korean Catholic Church is still very hierarchical and conservative, getting more and more conservative, unfortunately. Though women's status has come up very tangibly in the wider society, and though the majority of the Catholic Church are women, not many women are in decision-making position, such as church council, council of the parishes, etc. However, Religious women have played an important role and are making an effort to make their voice heard. In the last 40 years, the Association of Major Superiors of Religious Women in Korea have played an important role in raising awareness of women in the course of democratization of the country and in participating in significant social issues. There have been many newly established groups such as Catholic Women Community for the New World, Department for Women's Issues, the Women Theologians Group under the Association of Catholic Women's Religious. With the repeated request of women groups and with the recommendation of FABC, at long last, in the fall of 2000, Women's Desk under the Laity Commission of Catholic Bishops' Conference of Korea was launched. And I happen to be the executive secretary of that commission. And the purpose of these groups were to search for the dignity and the identity as women in the church and for the promotion of justice and peace to the world. Though there has not been much change regarding women's position and the role in the Korean Catholic Church and little participation in decision-making administration, we are called to continue our efforts and never not to give up.
Response to most wounded in the society. Poor people have different faces according to different contexts and different times of history. As the families are fragmented and broken, pastoral needs for these broken families arise anew. Many religious orders moved from the parishes and started ministries for the victims of the broken families, men and women and youth. Sometimes young people in this rapidly changed society are disoriented and fragmented. They are victims of the dysfunctional social system. Some religious orders find a new call in their approaches to the youth of a digital generation. Working with the victim of military sexual slavery by Japan. The issue of comfort women is a new and not new issue. Last 10 years, women religious congregation take turns participating in the prayer meeting and nearly every Wednesday in front of Japanese embassy in Korea. Effort for peaceful unification. Religious women continue our efforts for the peaceful unification of the North and South Korea. In our support to new shelters who come from North and help out with their difficulties, such as social and emotional adoption, unemployment, psychological burden because of family left in North, etc. Women religious have been sharing love of Jesus with new shelters since 1992.
The Korean church and the women religious are very active and dynamic. But the picture of the church and of the religious life is changing very rapidly. Now the vocation is going down. And with many opportunities open to lay women and with growing leadership of the lay women, less people feel called to religious life. Now lay women in the church are doing many things which were identified to be the sisters' work. However, it is not a sad news. We women religious need to reflect on then what will be our identity as religious and how we need to move beyond beyond the stereotyped roles as religious. We need to ask ourselves how then we could be authentically religious. In a world and in the church where life is excluded and threatened, whether it is migrant women, exploited ecology, urban poor or marginalized church women, we need to move beyond the barriers which lie ahead of us and beyond our comfortable zone to be present with these people. Thank you very much. I should have rang this ahead of time, but I forgot to. So now I invite you to take a moment of silence to reflect for your notes. Then shall we move on to Malaysia, Singapore?
Apa khabar? Siawakau, and also good afternoon. How are you all? Anyway, we are from the Conference of Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. And before I begin, I'd like to introduce the other two sisters here. We have Sister Alice from Sarawak. Can you please stand up? And we have Sister Laura Sandra from Sabah. And of course, we know Sister Maria Lau from Singapore. Okay, anyway, the reality of our conference of this three countries, the geographical limitation constraint. Our conference consists of Malaysia, and Malaysia consists of the East Malaysia and the West Malaysia. The other map is on your country report. Now, the East Malaysia comprised of our two sisters here. We have Sarawak and Sabah. And the West Malaysia is the Peninsula Malaysia. And the total population of Malaysia is 27 million. In Singapore, however, the little dot there, as you know, is a city-state where we have about 4.5 million people. Both countries, all of us, the countries here are multicultural, multi-faith. However, the political and the socio-economic realities, both in Singapore and Malaysia, in Singapore, the government believe in adequacy and ensure that all the communities can progress to be rewarded according to individual merits, regardless of race, language or religion. Government policy in Singapore are also guided by the principle of preserving the heritage and identity of the different ethnic and religious community in Singapore, while at the same time seeking to enlarge the common space among the different communities. Singapore, as a secular state, ensure that every citizen is free to choose his own religion, and no citizen is exercising his religious right, may infringe upon the right of the others. So in short, Singapore has got more religious freedom. However, The same cannot be said of Malaysia. Malaysia too have limitations. Limitations of the political freedom and religious freedom. One of the things to share with you is even the use of the word Allah. Okay? Use the word Allah. Christians are not allowed to use this word Allah, which means God. And we have been using it for many, many years already in our translation. To the Muslim, it is a serious matter if any Christian who tries to use this word. The Catholic newspaper, the Herald, was banned for some time. Archbishops, especially the one in Kuala Lumpur, has brought this matter up to court. Beginning of the court case, the court told us that we can use it. But after a while, after some time, we are back again. Cannot use the word Allah. So where are we now? The case is still pending. And we don't know what is the outcome yet. Okay? However, the other reality now is also political reality is conversion. Conversion of non-Muslim to Muslim. As well as the Islamization. This is very serious, especially in Malaysia, and more so I think in the peninsula Malaysia, but it's also infringing into the East Malaysia. The story is, it's easy to convert to Muslim, but it's very hard to convert out. And they use, I think, the schools, you know, in various ways, in the uniform, in ways to slowly entice the people to convert to Islam. Affluence, widening gap between the rich and the poor. Being in urban cities, we have this economic crisis, especially the recent economic crisis. So the gap between the rich and the poor is widening. In the same way, some of your country report, many people lose their jobs, especially those middle-aged men and women who has job security for 20 years, 30 years, suddenly they find themselves losing their job. So this widening of the gap. Rich and poor. Also, the rich and the poor also belonging to the old, the age, old and the young, especially in Singapore, because of our aggressive family planning, the old and the young, there's a big. So the old who has those retired, older people are those who want to work, they are supposed to upgrade themselves to learn as well as to go and do work. And it's quite common if you visit Singapore, sometimes in our food court, you see people clearing the dishes unloaded. The rich and the poor, on the other sense, is also those with technology. The young has got this technological know-how. The older one is slow, and so they lose the jobs. And even here in our room here, right, we see the young sisters are very good with this IT. I'm not. The technologies. Disintegration of family bonds. Wow, you know, smaller families. Both parents got to work to survive. Not only to survive for some, but to enjoy better quality of life. So there's no time for families. No time even to eat a meal together, which is very common. They rely also on low-cost foreign help to care for their young members of the family. And as a result, there is also no role model. Also, no role model. And Singapore is a country that has got a law that require the children to take care of their elderly parents. Because there is quite common now that sometimes the parents can go to the court and ask the court to intervene if the children are not giving them money and support. So the need of sound moral values to be passed down to the next generation. No role model in the family, so no or lack formation of values at home. Less inclined to maintain a multi-generation family unit. Increasingly also acceptance and practice of various forms of relationships, partnerships outside of marriage, and of course relationship among the young. More and more young people are having sex. The affluent society, where materialism and self-preoccupying prevails. Strive to just want to make it. Individualism is there. And again, the affluent society also encourages migration, especially in Malaysia. Search for meaning, spirituality. Being a multi-faith countries, in Singapore, we have about 5% Taoism, but 45% Buddhism. So Buddhism and Taoism make up 50% of Singapore. The rest is about 15% Islam, 15% Christianity, and then Hinduism. Whereas in Malaysia, Malaysia has got about 60% Islam, and the rest are minority. Christianity is minority. Having said this, in the East Malaysia, there are more. East Malaysia majority is not Islam, but the peninsula majority of the concentration of Islam in the peninsula Malaysia. So racial and religious harmony is very important. Both Malaysia and Singapore are aware that the diversity of religious and racial background on one hand can be enrichment to the respective countries, but on the other hand, it can be very dangerous, as both religion can raise and race can be exploited to incite people. And you have heard of terrorism, you have heard of using religion to train people for terrorism. For Singapore, however, at a National Day rally, just this year, National Day, our Prime Minister, in our report says, reiterated that social cohesion was critical to the long-term success. Practically, race and religious harmony. The Prime Minister noted that global trend of rising religiosity and that Singapore has also been carried along by the global tide. He acknowledges that religion was a positive force in societies, but warned against the risk of aggressive fossilization, intolerance, and exclusiveness by any religious group. He set out four basic principles for keeping Singapore peaceful and harmonious. He said all groups must exercise tolerance and restraint. Religion must stay separate from politics. The government must remain circular, and Singapore must preserve the common space that all Singaporeans share. And he urged Singaporeans never to forget what being a Singaporean means. That it's not just tolerating other groups. And I like this. Not just tolerating other groups, but opening their hearts to them. So tolerating is like as if we are suffering. But the invitation now is to open our hearts. So Malaysia is equally concerned about the need for the nation to live in unity among the people who are of different race and religion to work together harmoniously. And recently, I think the government is talking about one Malaysia. And hopefully, we work towards it. Where ecology is concerned, we are asked to practice the, what is that? Reuse, recycle, and reduce. The three R's. Okay, so this is what we want. And one thing to share, in Sabah also, in Sarawak, you know, they are practicing a lot of these garbage enzymes, you know, right? Garbage enzyme, 1, 3, 10. One portion of sugar, 3 portion of garbage, 10 portion of water. So anyway, our concern is the migrants, and we have heard a lot about the migrants, okay? So 3 in 10 working adults are foreigners in Singapore. In the same way, okay, Malaysia also, there are many migrants in Malaysia. We don't have to talk more about it. So the migrant workers, the dignity of the human person, the day off is what they are working for. Dignity of work condition and work wages, safety and security, vulnerability and exploitation, the place that they stay. The human trafficking, again, is a global phenomenon. Both Malaysia and Singapore is a country, destined country for women and girls. What do we do in our response? So creating this awareness awareness, we have awareness program, the major superiors with the meeting, and we have this awareness program. And then we went back home to Singapore, we also create another awareness program inviting the people. Exposure to religious and direct involvement. Our Franciscan sisters at FMM, the Good Shepherd sisters, are very involved in this. However, the other religions are also, we are trying to work out a task force, how to collaborate and work together. For example, those who can speak Filipinos ask to help whenever there's a crisis so that we can intervene and understand them. Our response also to build trust through social interaction, collaboration among ourselves and networking with NGOs to work for common cause, collaborative efforts at regional and international level. So, okay. Part of it is the Archdiocese has a commission to work for the migrants, but not so much the human trafficking. And so, whenever there's a case, you can bring it up to the commission. There are people who hear them, there are volunteers, lawyers. We also have got feeding the migrants. Here we have some pictures where the parishes are, some of the parishes are already aware, and they have this Feeding the Migrants program. The commission also feeds those new arrivals, especially the contract workers, those building construction workers. We feed them for 3 months, giving them free food, but only for 3 months, so that they can pick up again. Actually, another new set of problem is the, what shall I say, is the foreign wives. We have problem of foreign wives, those Vietnamese wives and young, if you want to call it the male order bride, but they don't have male order, they go there and select the youngest through photograph. This is also a group that we are trying to work with. Not that they have, so we have an office where they can come, educate them, give them information of their human rights, and hopefully we can work towards a better condition. And also one of the things is the government is also involved in helping countries. So thank you for listening.
Thank you again. We'll take a moment of silence for reflection and taking notes. Now I invite New Zealand sisters to present. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Yes, greetings to you and greetings to you all from New Zealand. I think that we're probably the smallest population group that is here in the room, and I think I don't think we're quite 5 million people, and we're right at the bottom of the world. But when you get there, you would think we were the centre of the world, because our problems are so important to us, and everything that happens in New Zealand, the rest of the world should sit up and take notice. But when you join a group of women this size, you hear your problems and you know the population and the landmass that you come from, I mean, you can hardly find us on the map. So you sort of put us into proportion. And one of the reasons for coming to a conference like this, I think, is to add perspective to the life of island dwellers. And so I am very grateful that I've got the privilege to be here. But the price I have to pay is I have to sit up here for a few minutes and fill you in with some information. I find it interesting that there isn't a problem that's being shared today that our 5 million people aren't touched with in some way. The only difference being that we're a very small group, so in proportion it's small too. So I represent the Conference of New Zealand Religious Men and Women. And we're in a very privileged position of having what's called a mixed commission, so that once a year, all our bishops, the major superiors, and their team, if they like to be present, and the religious male orders, we meet for 3 days. And we usually have an invited guest to give us some sort of input, and then in that period of time we share the problems that cross right across religious orders plus our bishops. And I think that in a way we're blessed to be able to have our bishops present, so that issues can be discussed without it being a problem in which you have to ring up and make a formal appointment and go to their place. One gets to know them as people, that they also have problems and their problems are shared. So the mixed commission is one of the very positive things that the religious have in New Zealand. I find it interesting that in my report one of the things I comment on is that we are still tidying up the sexual abuse issues that have been around, and I notice nobody else seems to either still have them or as a problem, or they never come up as a problem. But in New Zealand we've set up a special group which ensures that the victims of sexual abuse by religious get a fair healing and given compensation where it is appropriate, and that the perpetrators of the abuse also get a fair hearing, and issues that surround these people are dealt with in a human way, because it's not a quick fix when you have these issues in the church. And so the New Zealand group have certainly been working towards fair resolution of these problems. Also, in anticipation that it just doesn't go away, we have rules and regulations now for the people that we employ. Because listening to Sister Maria yesterday, New Zealand is well down the track of employing staff to do the work that religious did. And I think we have to have protection for them, but also for the people that they deal with. That there are rules and regulations and accountability. So the Major Superiors Conference has worked at having guidelines for protection of people in our employment. But like all other countries, the environment is becoming a major issue that we feel that religious have to become involved in and set the example. And this is where we're going to differ a little bit. Sister Noreen is very into environmental issues, and she's going to give a little story just relating maybe a journey that we're going to have to look at to do with the environment.
Hello, sisters. I'll stand up. I've taught 5-year-olds for 25 years, and I just cannot get out of the habit. So we're going to have a little story, a children's story, a fairy story. Unfortunately, it comes from Europe, so many of you may not have heard it, but this one no one's ever heard because I made it up. By the way, the illustrations for the story were developed by a 14-year-old Māori street boy. What did the people from Korea call him? A technical teenager or something. Anyway, so this is the story. It was written before all the dramatic climatic effects, and I apologise to those suffering. In our time, there is a little girl called Goldilocks, and like everyone else, Goldilocks wanted to go for a walk in the forest. Oh dear, cried Goldilocks as she looked about her. The forests have gone. The air is toxic. The water is polluted and the oceans are dying. Surely this is a bad dream. Goldilocks walked on through the concrete jungle, and soon she came upon a massive skyscraper. The security doors were surprisingly wide open, and so in she went. Growled throngs of bears sitting round tables, gobbling up huge plates of porridge. Not another little girl, growled the bears. It's hard to see the forecast of 9 million humans slowing down this century. Oh yeah, whispered Goldilocks. We are population growth, said all the bears together. Rising food prices, shortages of food like that. First gusts of a great storm tell of the famine due soon. Seeing all the bears eating so much made Goldilocks feel sick. Oh, gotta get out of here. I wonder what Mother Earth has to say about this. As she stepped into the lift, Goldilocks was deafened by a thundering noise coming from the floors above. She covered her ears and waited for the lift to stop and the doors to open. She was amazed at the sight of the rows of beds full of snoring bears. The deafening noise was coming from under the blankets, piled high over their enormous bodies. A big bear rolled over in his sleep and opened one eye to see what had caused some fresh air to brush his face. Help! Screamed Goldilocks. Who are you? We are global warming, said the bear. Because our habitats have been harvested and devastated, you are responsible for these enormous blankets wrapped around our planet. Let me introduce you to our cubs. Drought, flood, desertification, loss of soil, tornado, tsunami, rising sea, hurricane, famine, resource wars, chaos. My cubs will disrupt the lives of millions of people and millions of species. There will be mass extinctions. Goldilocks was alarmed and reached for a big chair. "That's awful and so hard," she moaned. "I didn't know we humans have been so addicted to consuming. I need to find a chair with the capacity to absorb the pain, the guilt, the fear." She sank in the softness of a comfortable chair, remembering the glory years of easy energy run on cheap fossil fuels. "We need to stop this greed and stop using fossil fuels, sobbed Goldilocks. "We humans need to grow up and see ourselves as part of this precious living plant. Where will I go for help?" A chubby little bear loped into the room. "Don't cry, Goldilocks. I have a dream for the earth. You might like to share it." "My dream is about the challenge of, for all of us, to discover a large sense of where we are, who we are, and where we are going. We are all Earth's precious offspring, and we are called to be in harmony and communion with the Earth's depths. We are already home, and this is where we must learn love and respect." "How wonderful," smiled Goldilocks. "Who are you?" "Just call me T. My name is Transformation." Goldilocks joined hands with T. "You and I must engage in major changes in our way of life, our spirituality, our theology, our eating, our traveling, our living, working and reproducing. The reality of climate change has called us to a radical rethink of how we live." So Goldilocks and Teddy took a giant leap forward with great energy and imagination. "Let's do it!" they shouted as they ran down the stairs, through the barriers of paralyzing ambition, out into the sunshine, freely, spontaneously, and together. Oh, it's meant to end with a beginning.
Moving forward, climate change will be investigated as a religious problem and will undoubtedly be one of the most important theological projects of our time. It may be the lens through which we will know our mission and the role of humanity as we learn our place as part of the Earth's community. Thank you all, and thank you for allowing us to be part of the wider world.
Thank you very much. I wouldn't dare ring the bell, though I know we are running out of time. So now we will take some moment. Okay, before we move on to Pakistan, I will introduce another exercise. You've been sitting on the chair all day long. You may have some pains on your back, do you? Or some, if you have kidney problem, bladder, or this part, do this. Does it hurt? Yes, then do it more. If it hurts, it means you have some problem on this area, or by doing this, these problems will be solved. So now 50 times again. Start. 40, 45. Not that way. Does it hurt? Do it more. Okay, thank you. Now, lastly, we will call upon Pakistan to share.
It means peace, salamti. As we present this report, we have not highlighted all that is going on in Pakistan, but we have selected it. Based on Islam, Pakistan came on the 14th of August 1947. It has a population of almost 170 million. The critical political situation of neighboring countries. The extremist groups are powerful. Pakistani jihadis share an umbilical cord with Taliban. And Osama bin Laden's jihad against America influences Pakistan and the other volatile Islamic world. This adds fuel to already fanatical nature of Islamic society. Politically moving towards democracy, there is hope, but the shape it would take is unpredictable. Recently, their courageous awakening, especially the sacrifice of Mrs. Benazir Bhutto, has brought about tremendous change. Women are awakened. A few women with decision-making positions in government, education is encouraged and appreciated. Religion, 96% Muslims, 1.5% Hindus, 1.7% Christians, 0.8% Jews. State is Islamic and Islam binds people together. The church is growing. There is a strong call to deepen Christian faith, commitment, true freedom, upliftment of the true human dignity, equality, lay leadership, value formation, eradicate inferiority complex, Occasions are on the rise, but need clarity of motives, quality formation.
Missionaries have played a great role in the area of religion and education. Today, in our seven dioceses, there are about 900 finally baptized sisters and 300 priests living and finding our way in this land. We are faced with a lot of challenges.
Political instability, poverty, violence, drugs, honor killing, illiteracy, discrimination, religious extremism. The most crucial one today is religious extremism. Minorities have to struggle as their identity is not fully recognized. Blasphemy law is directly used on the minorities. A little dispute is enough to set a whole Christian locality on fire. There have been many attacks on Christian churches and institutions. In the recent past in Gujarat, there are right now 9 precious lives to be lost. This has created more fear and tendency to remain. The government does show sympathy while encouraging dialogue, working for justice and peace. The church took a stand at the last incident raised in schools. The media played a positive role, so the government came to aid the people.
In the education system, the syllabus offered to the children from class 1 upward is geared towards Islam. There is no choice, so the children's minds are formed accordingly. There is also discrimination in recruiting for professional training and giving jobs. It is granted in the basis of religion.
Poverty is on the rise as the population is growing and more immigrants enter Pakistan. The land is in the hands of a few landowners, so slavery is maintained. Illiteracy, unemployment, sickness continues.
Women continue to suffer. Much injustice takes place daily. Most women suffer from domestic violence and male domination does not allow them to progress. In the frontier, girls are prevented from studying. So far, 199 girls' schools have been destroyed. However, there are two outstanding
things. Formation. Vocations are increasing, but their formation to make them good disciples of Christ is always a challenge. So, our priority is quality formation. There is a great need to form persons daring, committed, willing to stand up for justice and peace, who are courageous to face threats, also be with forward-looking citizens of other faiths who are prepared to take risk their lives. We need to understand more deeply the social, political, economical and cultural impact on the persons who come.
Facing day-to-day realities, concern and moving with daily struggle, we are well aware of the situation. We have begun to think and plan together for our effective formation of the young communities, proceed with the clarity of motivation, orientation towards personal journey, safely and living the call according to the spirituality and charism of Prince Institute. Strong push is needed to move from comfortable setting to a life of insecurity, from rich lifestyle, big institutions to poorer people. Be with the common person, launch out to the reality and the options that are not desired. In the face of discrimination, history, both the church, in taking part in dialogue, mixing with others, and working with justice and peace commission. There are many programs of exposure and immersion for the young religious to be in touch with the classroom, but they seem to be forgotten when they are finding Christ.
Major Superior's confidence. The confidence of religious tries to engage intercongregational collaboration, interfaith dialogue. It is successful to a certain extent. There are common plans of collaboration also in some areas of pastoral involvements like catechesis, tribal mission, reaching out to the handicapped drug users, AIDS victims, and street children. Conference tries to animate the many superiors to make them aware of the larger issues, to encourage new initiatives, but many religious congregations inexperienced religious and so move slowly. Formation seems to be their main concern. There isn't a strong commission for women among the women religious. Women religious are encouraged to join women's movement. The conference has a well organized justice and peace commission that reaches out to the women, to brick kiln workers, conduct labor, and work for their emancipation, irrespective of caste or creed. We want to strengthen the faith, faith at all levels, being large-hearted in welcoming those who accept Jesus and want to dedicate themselves. This calls for being more human in accepting, going beyond the ghetto mentality and building God's kingdom in a very radical way. Taking the invitation of Pope John Paul II, our wish is also to launch out into the deep. Yes, indeed, this is a greater challenge to us in our present day reality. Thank you. Thank you.